Welcome to all. Today we're learning Yerushalmi Beitza, Perek Dalet, in the middle of expanding Halacha Gimel and the Ois Vazer Tzvus Davitz on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about halfway through at the two dots with the quote from the Mishnah of Meir Oimer and the Oskel Tzvus Davitz on Lamed Tess Amud Aleph about the third line. And today's Davitz sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Sar Batz Biakam Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. So we had a machlokes in the Mishnah between Tanakam and Rav Meir regarding a room, or as the Mishnah called it, a bias. Maybe it's a storage shed or something like that, which was completely sealed on all sides. There's produce inside. It's obviously not accessible because it's completely sealed. But let's say it was Nifchas. Maybe some of the bricks or stones came out of the wall. The Tanakhama says, in such a case, then we're allowed to take produce out, but l'chatchila, we're not allowed to dismantle it. However, Rav Meir had said, afu peches ketchila v'noitel, even l'chatchila, he can dismantle it, he can take out some of the bricks or stones, create an opening, and take produce. Now, Rabbah quotes Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Shmuel, clarifying, u'bavad keneged ha-pesach. Rav Meir only allows this if it's where the opening is. That's because the bricks or stones that are by the opening, they're actually not sealed with cement. He's not being over on soiser, which is dismantling, mid to Raisa is just derabanan, because he's literally just removing the bricks that are there. They're placed in that area, closing it up, but again without cement, so he could remove them, and this is Litzarech Yomtev, so he could get the produce. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Vatani, we have a verse that says, Moedim Chom Rav Meir, Chom agreed to Rav Meir, Bechasama Shebekarka, with seals that are attached to the ground. Let's say there's a hole in the ground, a bar or something like that, which has a cover on it, and the cover is connected to the ground. Shemefakfakin, that one can shake the rope undoing it, Umafkin, and can even unravel the rope, Umatirin, and can untie the rope, and cut the rope. Whereas on Shabbos, it can be shaken to undo it. One can't unravel the rope, untie the knot, or cut it. But on Yom Tov, the reason why this is permitted, even according to the Chachamim, is because since this is constantly undone and redone, in order to be able to open the cover and access whatever's in the ground, so it's a totally normal act and it's not considered stira. Now, clearly from here, the Chachamim would allow taking out the bricks or the stones from the opening of the sealed storage shed, as long as they're not cemented, because that's the normal way to close it and open it. You take out the bricks or stones and put them back. And therefore, it must be, though Rav Bud said, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, is incorrect. And actually, Rav Meir would allow to even take out these bricks, Shaloi Kineged HaPesach, even if they're sealed up. And again, that's because it's necessary for Eichel Nefesh, it's needed for Yom Tov. Lavo Bez on top, we just continue with this, Ubekalim, in regards to Kalim, meaning when we have a cover that's attached to a Kli, we're not talking about a cover of, let's say, a bar in the ground. We're just talking about a regular Kli, some sort of vessel, maybe a pot with a cover, or some sort of closet or something like that. So even b'Shabbos mutter, it's permitted on Shabbos, ve'ein tzarich lamer b'Yom Tov, and we don't even have to say this on Yom Tov. That's because ein binyan ustir b'kelim, there's no isser of building or dismantling by kelim, so it'd be permitted completely to undo or to unravel the rope to be able to access the inside of the kli. Moving on to halacha dalet, Mishnah tells us ein peichsin es haner mipnei shu oisa kli, no making a depression for a ner because it creates a kli. What's this referring to? So back in the day, when they would make a ner, which is translated as a lamp, they would take a ball of clay, punch a hole in the middle of it, creating a depression. And then that's where they would pour the oil and then place the wick. So he's not allowed to take this ball of clay on Yom Tov and punch it down in the middle, creating this depression, because that makes a kli. That's technically making it usable as a ner. Another din, ve'in oisin pechamim, no making charcoal on Yom Tov. That's basically extinguishing the fire on the wood before it completely burns. So now he has charcoal. That's because he's being metakein mana. He's creating a kli. This is now usable charcoal. This is something that's particularly used by tsarfei kesef, silver refiners, so therefore it's aser. Also, ve'in chayt if a person has a very long wick, he's not allowed to cut it into two. That's also metakin mana. He's making a kli. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, chaytcha ba'ur l'shtei neiros. He could cut it using fire into two lamps. Basically, he takes two lamps, places the two ends of this long wick in each of the lamps. Then he puts fire right in the middle that cuts it into two. And here he has two wicks for the two lamps. The Gemara begins by talking about making a kli on Yom Tov. Tani, we have a braisa. Lefasim stumais, closed pots. This is referring to a way that they would make pottery back in the day. Often, they would make a large pot with the lid attached to it. And remember, since it was made out of clay, they had to wait for it to dry. And only once it dried, then they would take a knife or some sort of implement and cut the lid off of the pot. So Asar Me'er of Yom Tov, even if he had made it Erev Yom Tov, Lo Yiftachem B'Yom Tov, he's not allowed to open it on Yom Tov, meaning he's not allowed to cut that cover off. Mo'ayim B'Neshu Kemachshir Kli B'Yom Tov, because it's like he's preparing a kli on Yom Tov. Now we have a very important girsa insertion over here. Reb Shimon Gamliel Mati, Reb Shimon Gamliel allows one to do it. That's because since the whole way the kli is produced is with the cover attached to it, so it's like the kli was already made erev Yom Tov, so just simply cutting off the lid on Yom Tov is not an issue. Now the Gemara tells us, Taman Taninon, over there we learned in a Mishnah, Mseches Edeis, Alafasim Arainios, regarding these pots that are like an Arain, like a closet, they have their covers attached to them, Shehein Tahiris B'Oyel HaMeis, they are Tahar in Oyel HaMeis, which means if this kli is inside the same room or structure that has a dead person in it, and so that means that anything inside of this area is going to be Tameh, this kli is Tahar tahar, and that's because it has a lid. This is based off of a pasuk that tells us that any kalim which have lids on them, it's called a tzmid pasil, so the kli is tahar, and that which is inside the kli is tahar, and that's the same thing over here. These lefasim aronios, since they have a lid connected to them, they're tahar and oil ames. Now, tameis masa azov, they're going to be tame if a zav carries them. This is called heset. If a zav carries something, he's metame it, so that applies to his kli as well. Nerblaz Reb Tzadik Amar, he tells us that af masa azov tahayrois, they're even tahar if they're carried by a zav. Why? Because it's not completed. The lid has to be cut off of the kli in order for it to be considered a kli. As long as the lid's attached to the kli, it's not considered gemar malacha, so it doesn't have the status of a kli. Now we take these two brises and compare them to each other. Asu dechida dehacha kistuma de taman, udechida de taman kistuma dehacha. The individual opinion over here is like the stam opinion over there, and the individual opinion over there is like the stam opinion over here. Over here is referring to the first brise that we quoted, these kalim that were made with the lids attached to them, and they have to be broken off. And the individual opinion is that girsa insertion that we made, Reb Shimon Gamliel, who allows that to be cut off. That's because, as we had explained, it's already considered a kli beforehand. It's not considered like it's completing the kli by breaking it off. And that's like the stam mishnah of Adios that we quoted. That's the second quote, which is that this kli that has the lid attached to it still is considered a real kli, and it's tameh b'masa azav. And the yechidah of over there, the individual opinion of that mishnah there, which is Reb Blaz Reb Tzadik, who says it's not considered a kli, is like the stam opinion of over here, that these lefasim stumas are not considered kalim before Yom Tov, so the lid is not allowed to be cut off on Yom Tov. We continue discussing, now moving on to another topic, Laman Zayin Omer Aleph on the top, Rav Bosses B'Shem Rav Yudah, because if he has a burning piece of wood, he could lean it against the wall on Yom Tov, b'shvil shalei techaschez, so this shouldn't singe and burn the house, and even though it's going to get extinguished when he puts it on the wall, that's not a problem because it's called gram kibui. He's just causing it to be extinguished, he's not actively extinguishing it though, therefore it's permitted. Now, Tani, we have a braisa, one is not allowed to actively extinguish a burning piece of wood in order to save the wood itself. Let's say he wants the wood for later and he doesn't want the whole thing to burn, so he's not allowed to extinguish that on Yom Tov. Whereas, if it's because he doesn't want the house to be filled with smoke, or he doesn't want the dish to get all smoky, maybe this piece of wood is very smoky, so then it's permitted because let's say Yom Tov. Now, Omer of Chananya clarifies, that's only if there's no air, which means if he doesn't have an open, airy area to be able to throw this burning piece of wood, so then he's allowed to extinguish it. But if he has some air, maybe he could throw it into his courtyard or something, he should throw it over there, and that's sufficient. He's not allowed to extinguish it. All that smoke could let itself out in that airy area, and he's not allowed to extinguish it. Now, Omer of Nasa, he further clarifies, Vyos, this is correct. Kainanan Amrin, this is what we say, Hadak Kloy Risa, this Kloyris or Kloy Rin, which is basically eye balm, Shari Mesha Fumikhomina Biyamitava, one is allowed to rub it and put it on his eye on Yom Tov, and if he's allowed to do that to help his eyes, by that same token, you're allowed to extinguish a piece of wood which is smoking, and that's going to cause eye irritation. However, Rav Mana says that's not necessarily a raya, because kan l'shimur v'kan l'refua. Over here, in regards to extinguishing the burning piece of wood, that's just l'shimur. It's a preventative measure so that it shouldn't become smoky and then perhaps irritate the eyes. Whereas over there, this brisa that Rabbi Nasa brought is referring to where the person's eyes are actually hurting him, and he's doing it for a fua. So we can't compare these two things, and therefore that which Rav Nasa brought is actually not a raya for being able to extinguish a burning piece of wood that's creating too much smoke. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.